Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I want to talk to you just a few minutes about why take a trip to Israel. All right, I want you to just think about that, because I guess I should ask, how many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hand. All right, there's a good portion here, but there's a lot of you who have never, ever taken a trip to Israel. Unlike Lewis McClendon, Lewis and Karen are not here tonight, and I should have mentioned that earlier. He is out at a speaking engagement, but he and his wife, this was their seventh trip to Israel. And this was my first trip to Israel. We had two other trips scheduled in the past. As a matter of fact, in the first 6 years that I was here at the church, Dr. Henniger and I had scheduled a trip. And then due to unforeseen situation, we ended up having to cancel the trip. So this was my very, very first trip to Israel. I have always had pastors to tell me, Mike, you've got to take a trip to Israel. You've got to go. Well, after 29 years of pastoring, I finally went on my first trip to Israel. And I was very excited, especially, I know everybody else who went on the trip, we got this whole itinerary before we ever got on the plane. And I started to look at all the different locations, all the places that we were going to be visiting. And my excitement just built, you know, just bigger and bigger and bigger. I was like, this is going to be awesome just to see all of these different places. And I want to give you just several reasons why I believe you ought to consider taking a trip to Israel. Number one, you will walk where Jesus walked. Okay, we can't tell you exactly whether you were walking the exact spot, but you're in the general vicinity of where he ministered and where he walked and where life took place during that time. We were able to visit Temple Mount and go to the Southern Stairs. I believe Barb had mentioned about that. We sat on the very steps that scholars believe Jesus would have used to ascend up into the temple. Here's one of the pictures of me sitting there. I know you saw a picture of Barb sitting on the stairs as well. It was truly amazing to be there at that spot and to think Jesus and his disciples would have ascended up, stepping on these very steps as they went up into the temple, or they were coming down from the temple. It was amazing to walk where Jesus walked. We visited the Garden of Gethsemane. It was there in that garden that Jesus submitted his will to God the Father, and he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." There are eight olive trees that they tell us are in the garden today that they believe were there during the time of Christ. Here's a picture of one of those trees. You can tell the width of there, the diameter of that tree. It was emotionally moving for me as I was at that very location, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus had me on his mind as he prayed to God the Father. It would have been there in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was arrested and that he was then later crucified there on Golgotha. In a sense, you might could say that my trip to Israel made my faith very tangible. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that I walked where Jesus walked. I saw the sights and I touched the objects and I heard the various sounds and I experienced the smells of the land. It was as if I suddenly went from black and white TV to full color. And the trip to Israel had all of my senses engaged. I was tired with jet lag, and we were going from early in the morning to late at night. But you could not help but just sense that this is an awesome experience to be able to walk where Jesus walked and to be in the locations where he was. Number two, you will visit the areas where most of Jesus' ministry took place. I believe it was Gordon who showed you the picture, and I want to show you another one. But the first hotel that we stayed in was in Tiberias, and the view from our window of the Sea of Galilee was really, really amazing. The very first day of our tour, we visited all around the area of Galilee. We visited Cana of Galilee, where Jesus performed what? His first miracle of turning the water into wine. We visited the area where Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. We saw the area where Jesus would have gotten into a boat, and then he began to teach the multitudes who had been sitting on the hill there. In fact, Malcolm, our tour guide, showed us where that was, where it would have made a great, literally an acoustic area where he could have been heard speaking from the boat to literally thousands of people that would have been sitting there on that hillside. We were in Capernaum, where Jesus spent most of his public ministry. We even got to sail the Sea of Galilee, and it reminded us of how Jesus calmed the storm when he said, "Peace, be still." I had the privilege of speaking to our group as we were in the boat, and here's another picture of that. And I was able to talk about how Jesus can still calm our storms today. Does he not? He calmed that storm nearly 2,000 years ago in the Sea of Galilee. He is still calming storms in our lives today. We visited Caesarea Philippi. It was there that Jesus asked his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And I was standing there and I could almost hear Peter say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When you go on a trip to Israel, you'll not only walk where Jesus walked, but you'll go to all those different areas in which we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus' public ministry took place. Number three, you will now associate visual pictures in your mind of different locations that you read about in the Bible. Is that not true for those of you who went on the trip? Now when you read your Bible, for instance, let me just say this. Before I ever went to Israel, when I read of places in the Bible, I didn't visualize anything. They were just names, and sometimes they were even hard to pronounce names. You know, but I would read those places, those locations, nothing would come to my mind. I can now visualize the Sea of Galilee. I can visualize the Jordan River. That was a surprise. I was expecting this really, really huge river. It's not that really big. The Mediterranean Sea, the Dead Sea. I can visualize the Mount of Beatitudes, the town of Capernaum, the town of Bethesda, the town of Nazareth, the town of Bethlehem. On and on the towns go. The Shepherd's Fields. I can now visualize the city of Jericho. I can now visualize Mount Carmel, Mount Tabor, and the Valley of Jezreel or Megiddo. I can now visualize En Gedi, where David hid from Saul and will forever remember seeing the caves that dotted the hillsides there. I will not forget standing and looking across the valley at a cave where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. I can now visualize the city of Jerusalem. I walked through the holy city of Jerusalem. I can visualize the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, Golgotha, the empty tomb. My point is that all these places are no longer just obscure places that I read about in the Bible, but now they're real places. I can see those places in my mind. And that will forever change the way that I read my Bible. It's like, again, going from watching black and white television to suddenly going to full color. I believe that the experience of me as your pastor going, hopefully will even enhance my analogies and my stories that I can share when we talk about different places in the Bible. Number four. You will have some misconceptions cleared up. One of the things that I learned on the trip is that often we have a tendency to interpret the Bible from a Western point of view. And as you begin to travel around Israel, one of the first things that you'll notice is that rocks are everywhere. I mean, rocks and stones, they are everywhere. Israel is not a land of forests, but it's a desert land with an abundance of rocks. Houses are not made out of wood, they're made out of stone. Our tour guide, Malcolm, challenged my thinking a little bit when he said that the word translated for carpenter can also be applied to any craftsman, any workman or artisan. I thought about Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? It very well could be that Jesus was a mason who worked with stones, worked with rocks instead of working with wood. I was a little shocked when throughout the trip, our tour guide, again, Malcolm, showed us mangers. The mangers were not made out of wood. They were made out of stone. Keep in mind that a manger was what? A trough where the animals ate out of. And here's one of the mangers that we saw. And there's Malcolm standing and explaining a little bit about the manger. Of course, when we went to the olive wood store in Bethlehem, all the nativity scenes had the manger made out of wood. That was to cater to us Westerners that were showing up and buying those nativity scenes. Also, more than likely, Mary didn't have Jesus in a wooden stable, but rather in a cave. Here's a picture, a cave that could have been where Jesus was born. Again, we think in a Western mindset, it's very typical to think of a wooden structure or a wooden manger. But what we saw over there were caves and lots of rocks and stones and mangers that were made out of stone. Here's a video of our group singing in the cave. Very special experience that we had there where we were able to sing, as you heard, one of the Christmas carols there in a cave that could have possibly been where Jesus was born. Our tour guide, again, I mentioned his name, Malcolm, has been giving tours for over 40 years. And I'll tell you, he was so very knowledgeable. Honestly, he was so full of information, and I mentioned it over there, but it was like trying to drink from Niagara Falls. I mean, my brain was so overwhelmed with information. It was hard to digest it all. I really commend, I think it was Mary who journaled. She went back every night, stayed up probably a little bit late. And did she stay up late? She did, didn't she? Yeah. And she journaled. And she probably did the right thing because she's going to be able to remember those things. I didn't journal, but I would lay there and I would think about all that I had heard throughout the day. There's no way to digest everything that Malcolm was telling us in just one trip. Lewis, as I said, Lewis and Karen McClendon have been over there 7 times. I believe, Barb, you said that was your third time. Seibels, second. That was your second time. Bong, second time to go on the trip. What I'm trying to say is every time you go, you learn something new. Barb, did you learn something on this trip? You did. Seibels, Bong, yeah. Every time you go, you learn something a little bit new, something you've not seen before. In other words, the more you go, the more knowledge you retain, and it all begins to make sense. And we're hoping and we're planning to take another trip the spring of 2021. As most of you know, we have got a Family Life Center project that is going to be taking place here very soon, and that's going to be about a one-year project. We want to get that behind us. And then in spring of 2021, we would like to go on another trip over to Israel. I have already personally talked with 2 to 3 couples who said, we are going on the next one. They've already said that. They said, we want to go on the next one. So start saving now. You're knowing now a year and a half in advance. And start saving, and we'll give you more information about that trip as it goes along. I want to leave you tonight with two prayer requests, all right? Two prayer requests that I want to give you. Number one, pray for Malcolm to be saved. He has an incredible amount of Bible knowledge. Here he is. And yet he has not made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He would quote passages of Scripture. There were times when I thought, this guy knows more about certain passages in the Bible than I do. He was just spitting it out, just like this, all day long. Here is a man who has a lot of head knowledge about the Bible, but he has yet to accept the gospel message. And that is to accept that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, and that he came to die for Malcolm's sins, was buried, and rose again victoriously from the grave. And so I want you to pray for Malcolm. I wonder how many of you would just maybe commit to pray for him this upcoming week. Just pray that God would grip his heart and that he would trust Christ. Number two, I want you to pray for a lady named Sophia. She got saved on the last day of the trip in Athens, Greece. I mean, literally, it was early in the morning on that Friday. We were downstairs in the lobby trying to get all the suitcases gathered up, and Lewis is over there talking with Sophia. And Sophia is what we call, she was ripe for the picking. And she started crying. She's dealing with a lot of issues in her life. She accepted Christ as her Savior right there in the lobby. And so what we did was we support the DeMakos family as well as the Cindys that work there in Athens. And we immediately gave Sophia James Cindy's number. And then we said, Sophia, will you give us your cell phone number? And then we took her number and gave it to James Cindy. We want Sophia to be discipled and to get plugged in to the Bible Baptist Church there in Athens, Greece. Our missionaries, the Cindys and the DeMakos family, are doing a fantastic job. I think you would be very, very proud with the investment, the dollars that we give on a monthly basis to them. They are working with refugees, as you've already heard, especially with Iranians and Afghanis. And it was the highlight of our portion in Greece to hear all those testimonies and to be able to mingle with them.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.